Okay, welcome back to On the Up and Up, and this is a very special episode because it is our 100th episode. So, full disclosure, I had originally intended for this episode to be all about like all the fun things that have gone on over the last couple of years building this podcast and this community. Even just talking a little bit about, you know, the way the paradigm has developed since 2020. Some of the mistakes that I've made, some of the good decisions I've made. And then over the last few weeks through November, there has been so much discussion within our Set to Scale membership community, as well as our Paradigm Solution signature service clients, that has revolved around the political and kind of fraught landscape that we are in post-election. I think that, you know, things are calming down a little bit, but I'll be honest, I tried to record this episode a few different times and kept coming up against some kind of mindset thing. I don't know if you've ever had that type of thing happen. Normally you can give me a microphone and I can blab about whatever topic you tell me to. And, you know, that sometimes is a gift and a curse, as, you know, if you've been listening to this podcast for a while, you know that sometimes you're like, Kira, why did you even say that? But anyway, I'm all about just like bringing something real to these conversations, especially because so much of leadership is tuning in to who you really are. And if I am going to be a leader in a space that helps build leaders, especially when I just deeply desire and want so badly for small business owners to have a larger stake and a bigger claim to what's going on in our environment. And I want you to make more money and be more successful to create more positive work environments for other people. This is all part of that discussion. So, you know, fingers crossed this time around, I actually finish recording it and don't delete it or get freaked out or whatever. Because I think that this message that I want to talk about today is really, really important. And it's not about me pushing my beliefs on anyone else, but more so just talking a little bit about how to deal with a work environment that's full of diverse-minded, diverse background people with many different perspectives, especially when those perspectives don't always align with you personally. And there is no simple answer for this. So at the risk of sounding like an idiot, as I probably contradict myself a couple of times throughout this episode, I think that maybe it'll be helpful to just kind of listen to my overall thoughts on it and how I've been discussing this with our clients and kind of going back and forth about the things that they found really helpful and the advice and consulting that I've given versus like some of the things that Kylie on our team has been saying that the clients have really appreciated, especially because she is an employee of mine. And, you know, as much as we have a long-term relationship and I'm just so proud to have her on the team, she consults on these topics as well. And that can be kind of meta. I've talked about this on the podcast before, like recording this episode and then passing it off to the team. Almost every single person on our team is part of getting this message out into the world. So it's even more complicated for me to record something that I know so many people on my diverse perspectives team are going to hear and listen to and be able to put that out. I think it's the ultimate test to be able to put that out into the community, into our community that is full of varying beliefs and values. And I think that that is at the crux of why I want to challenge myself and put myself in this position to talk about this, because first of all, I think someone has to, like someone that is privileged like I am, that's white like I am, that is in the same shoes as all of our clients, small business owners like I am, and that isn't generally a member of many marginalized communities that are primarily impacted by this election. So if you've been listening for a while, you probably know where I stand and where I fall on the political spectrum. However, I am a person that really enjoys people, and you don't get to build a business on the fact that I truly love people and communicating with them and learning about them without stretching my ability to understand the perspectives and opinions of others. I think that having a really high level of empathy and a really solid curiosity about others has put me in a position to sometimes be more empathetic to alternative viewpoints than you may be. And I also think that that's 100% okay. I don't think that all of the time when we're hurt or offended or are scared, which I know there's a lot of that going around, or even put off by certain conversations and topics, can it be very easy to go into your healthiest mindset where you are the most open, understanding, and cognizant of the perspectives that you're listening to and really trying to empathize with people, even if on face value you believe something totally different than them. So I just want to kick off by saying that when I first went to therapy, which this isn't going to be a whole, you know, trauma dump, but when I first went to therapy as an adult, in 2018, one of the very most impactful and important things I learned that also translated over to business, and I've talked about this in our previous episodes before, is you don't have to believe everything you think. And I think adopting that value as a primary driver of the conversations that I have with diverse perspectives has made it a little bit easier for me to empathize with other viewpoints. I am not recording this conversation to convince you to go out into the world and have difficult conversations with a lot of people. If nothing else, the primary, goalpost that I would want to hit at the end of this episode is that you are empowered and emboldened and you're not afraid to deal with differing perspectives on your team without sacrificing or falling back on or watering down the values, which is the motor behind your business in the first place. There is a way to be a kind of multifaceted and a leader that listens and a leader that can lead lots of personalities, a leader that can lead a lot of people regardless of your personal thoughts or feelings. That is a skill that we are all working to learn. And regardless of what side of the aisle you sit at, we want to make sure that we can build the most diverse possible teams. And because that those diverse people are going to be the ones that are going to drive your business forward. So that doesn't mean that I want to build a diverse team of people that all really generally think the same exact way I do, but maybe look different. Diversity also means building a team of people that think different. And that's a lot of where innovation comes from. Now, I also want to preface this by saying that this is work that privileged people need to do. These conversations need to happen from the perspective of those that are going to be harmed less by having a controversial take. They're going to be harmed less by someone disagreeing with them. There is so much data, studies, all of that kind of stuff that show that people in the most privileged positions tend to be the people that we automatically assume are the leader and tend to be the people that have an influence over the people that are working for them, working with them, or working, you know, within their communities. So I'm not saying I'm this big influential person or whatever, but I have taken the role of leading several teams at the same time with a total of over 50 employees between three businesses. I also have a community that's very vibrant, full of 30 small business owners, all of which are women except for one man. And shout out to Scott. And I also have been really deeply affected by the election and the politics, and I tend to be very interested in those things. For example, I had to write my college thesis on a proposed solution for the Israel-Palestine conflict. So that was 15, 18 years ago, 17, I'm not going to tell you. Somewhere in that range, you can just do the math. And obviously they didn't take my solution because here we are, but no, I'm not meaning to make light of that. I'm just saying that this isn't something that I'm coming at from a light or easy breezy, get over it, everyone should get along, you know, kumbaya perspective. I'm coming at this from a place where I feel that I have a responsibility to talk about this in a way that creates more of a better and more inclusive and more progress-driven dialogue between business owners of each side of the aisle. So granted, all of that is to say that today's topic, the benchmark, the goalpost that we're trying to hit is walking away with confidence, knowing that you can handle these sensitive issues without sacrificing the productivity and the collective happiness of your team. So I want to talk a little bit about some of the things that I've been hearing in our communities. We've had a couple of large conversations about that all kind of come down to colleagues and members of ours recently sharing they're worried about politics entering the workplace. They are worried about how their policies might be affected by that. Our private clients or even some of our members have reached out privately or sent voice memos that are like, I don't know how to deal with this. I'm picking up something that I didn't realize about one of my team members, and now I'm kind of walking back some of the things that I have said on calls and wondering if I've, you know, kind of put my foot in my mouth or offended someone or, you know, whatever the case may be. But it all came down to how do we respect differing beliefs while maintaining a strong and inclusive culture? And I just want to say that this is an emotional and complex issue. It is totally normal to feel conflicted as a leader in these times. By the time this episode comes out, it will be early December, only a month removed from a very highly fraught and stressful day, regardless of which side of the aisle you fall on, or if you are a person that opts out of investing time and energy into politics, to which I say, maybe you should, and I'm happy to explain why, but not today. I am so proud to be in communities of women that care so much about what happens in government and in politics and in local government and in our social circles, and you know, our social wellness and our economic wellness and all of those things are really, I just want to say that if you care and if you have put yourself in a position to do these things and research these things and to feel the fear and emotion, then you're already doing the right thing, even if the content that you are consuming is very different from mine. I just want to say that these conversations that we've been having over the last month have been very fraught with fear and anxiety, especially when people's values, so things that not just their opinions, but their values. Values and opinions are two very different things. But when people's values or their identities or their intersectional identities are deeply tied to the issues being discussed. So being able to show up to work and not care about what happens in our government is a privilege beyond all others. Being able to show up to work and be one of the few that are benefiting from the squabbling that we are doing in the middle class, upper middle class, or even lower, whatever side of the middle, who knows what the middle class even is. I guess that's a whole other topic. Not getting into that, whatever. But regardless of that, I think one of the biggest things that we need to do is have these conversations. That means that it's okay to feel conflicted about it. And it's also okay to feel like a little bit of empathy towards people whose values are different than yours, whose identities are things that you don't relate to. And the topics that are being discussed in the media and through government and through this election and through these differing viewpoints, we are going to likely have a bit of a smorgasbord of where we fall on all of these like spectrums of political opinion. And it is important that we're having these conversations, because the biggest issue that I have seen is that we get sucked into an algorithm, especially when you're active on social media, that is just going to continue to reiterate all of the things that we're liking and that we're seeing. So going into those discussions and thinking to yourself, I have a benefit of understanding this perspective, my perspective, in a really deep way, because I've seen all of the memes, I've seen all the TikToks, I've seen all the research, I've seen the journal articles, I've seen the screenshots, I've seen the political pundits talking about things that are all really just validating the beliefs that I have. And granted, I want to say that those beliefs are just thoughts. We don't believe everything we think. But obviously, that's something I'll continuously work towards. So I just wanted to kind of pull that out there and say that we shouldn't be shying away from these topics. We grew up in a place where people would tell us that in work environments and social environments, you don't talk about religion or politics. And I think that what that has done is divided us even more. So realistically, if you're not going to talk about things that intersect between something that could be considered politically charged or a social issue or something that has two sides to it, because everything's so freaking binary, then if we're not going to talk about it at work or in social situations, then when are we going to talk about it? When are we going to have conversations with each other? When are we going to create spaces for each other to believe what we want to believe versus what, you know, the truth is? At the end of the day, everything is marketing and everything is spun. There's no one side that knows everything so perfectly. That is all to say that there are identities that are highly marginalized and very fearful of things as we go into this next era, I guess we'll say, over the next 4 years. And even if you don't believe that those are true feelings between those marginalized identities, I will just challenge you to say that they are still feelings and they still exist. So showing up with empathy towards those that have fear based on the results of this election is going to be the number one thing that you have to do, no matter what side of the aisle that you fall on. Second to that, we have companies that we generally want to create a set of values for that will have a culture that is really reflective of who we are as a leader, because especially in small business, we only have a few team members, 5, 10, 20, even 25 team members is usually means that you're going to be talking to these team members on a daily basis. So if you want to show up effectively as a leader, having a culture that backs up who you are as a leader is going to be the first step in making leadership a little bit easier for you. So some of those discussions around politics are going to have to actually be discussions around your culture. And if your company is not a place where politics is discussed, then you have to make sure that your values are not being misconstrued along the way. So if you have hardcore opinions about things that are then reflected in your values, but then you're saying don't talk about politics, then that will reflect a clear cultural stance. So one thing I like to tell people is every workplace has its unique culture. When you bring someone in, like let's say you have a team of 5 and you bring in one more person, they're going to comprise 15 to 18% of that culture just because there's 6 people. I don't know the math, so deal with it. So that means that when someone is, if your team culture avoids political discussion, that is okay. As long as it's consistently applied and doesn't silence someone that when their rights or safety or identity feels compromised. So an example I'll give is just calling my own company out. One of the things that are one of our 3 core company values is equality. So obviously we would say that this is going to affect a couple of issues that are going to intersect with politics. The first is women's rights and women's empowerment, wanting to help women build businesses that's going to get them more money, which is going to get us seats at the table so that we can advocate for initiatives that are going to be beneficial to women's empowerment and equality. The second is LGBTQ rights. That intersects with our value of equality. So even just making sure that, you know, within our culture, we openly discuss women's empowerment. We openly discuss LGBTQ rights. We openly discuss the equality between races, religions, and our anyone of the woman's right to choose. All of those things are, it's so charged to have a value that's equality. And you have to really think about what that means if you don't want to have a culture of politics. If that's the case, then you want to make sure that your values are not going to intersect with areas where there can be confusion. So just keeping in mind that, you know, I could probably talk about this and give millions and millions of examples, but if building a culture that is free of political commentary is part of your goal, start with your values. Understand that values and opinions are not the same thing, and you as a leader get to decide what your team culture is going to look like, but you have to define it first. And I would highly recommend that you ensure that if you want to have a culture devoid of political discussion, that your values are not going to cross over with that. For example, it could be something like one of your values is quality of work, quality of delivery, something like that. I would find it much more challenging to find a political intersection with the value of quality that would cause an issue within your team culture. But I would say that if I have the value of equality, which I do, and then I'd suddenly decided tomorrow that we are not going to be a politically minded company, then that would not only kind of disconnect me as a leader from the culture that I'm building, but it would also really disconnect the people that I have on my team that believe in that value, that applied for this job because they were drawn to those values. And I think it's one of the key the key places that I am able to kind of take for granted a little bit on the culture side because we define it so clearly up front. So just making sure that those things align, the way that you're managing your team, your culture, and what those values actually look like. So realistically, I also wanted to tap into something that's really difficult, which is setting boundaries and holding space for others. One of the biggest things that we can do for our team in times of trouble or stress is to be able to hold space for others effectively when they are sharing their fears. And I have several episodes about holding boundaries, but I just want to say that boundaries can help the team stay focused. So, but they also need to be flexible enough that people can express their genuine fears and concerns. And our job as leaders is guiding these discussions with empathy and ensuring that they don't disrupt team cohesion. So if somebody brings something up in a meeting, there's a thin line between silencing them and saying, we don't talk about that here. And hey, it sounds like you'd like to share some of your thoughts, you know, as your leader, as your manager, let's hop on a call after this, do a quick one-on-one so you can get your thoughts out and we can chat through it. Another thing is just to stay focused on shared values. Every single person on my team, although we have a very shared belief system across the board, has different viewpoints and opinions on everything, whether it be housewives to raw milk. I know everyone's laughing right now that's listening to this before it goes out, to who we're following on social media, to even probably parenting stuff. Across the board, there's going to be different opinions. And again, focusing on shared values does not mean trying to bring everyone into a shared opinion. When tensions rise, redirect the focus to what's uniting your team. So whether it's a commitment to fairness or innovation or service or whatever the case may be, those shared values can help bridge differences and maintain alignment and productivity in the team and also help you to really make sure that you're reinforcing those boundaries. There's quite, you know, one of our clients in Set to Scale, Lauren, she brought up how should we be navigating this political landscape in the world of a DE&I policy. And I just think that it's really important that you always go back and revisit those values and make sure that the policies that you're enforcing within your company are something that you want to continue to promote. So if you have a DE&I policy, but you're finding that, you know, there's maybe a little bit of crossover after this episode of what your values look like versus what you want other people to expect when they're coming into work, there is absolutely nothing wrong with revisiting those values. And one thing that I think is really important about this, especially if you have an established team, earlier I referenced if I came to the team and said, equality is no longer one of our values, it intersects politics too much. That would really rip the rug out from under people. So maybe instead, being really honest with your team about what your goals are in regards to building a culture to make it easy for you to lead them, to make it feel aligned for you to lead and manage them, but also to allow your current team to have a voice in the direction that the company is going. And I think one of the ways that we can do that is to make sure that everyone on our team understands how they show up and what they really bring to the table as a team member, as a leader, as a future manager. So making sure that you are focusing on professional development that allows for people to understand how to have difficult conversations with each other, how to give feedback, even if it is through an anonymous reporting form, which all of our clients have, and also where they can reach out for a third-party neutral resource like HR to talk through any concerns that they have about your workplace culture. Sometimes it can be really helpful to even just provide continuing education or training to make sure that we're all modeling respectful dialogue along the way. Okay, so I know this was kind of a heavy episode. I'm very interested in your thoughts, so please shoot me a DM or even better, help support the podcast by leaving us a review. Talk a little bit about what you took from this episode. I would absolutely love to get an influx of reviews celebrating our 100th episode because I really put my neck out there, so wish me luck. But I would just like to say that there is so many times when we are going to be in a position to have to navigate these challenges in business. This isn't a one-shot thing. This is going to happen a lot. So if you haven't already received management and leadership training, then make sure that you take our People on Purpose course. It's going to help you to get a lot deeper understanding of what it is that the skills that you can learn to help teach you to handle things a little bit better. But you can start by just taking our leadership quiz, which we will link in the show notes. So the goal, remember, the goal isn't to avoid conflict, but to turn moments of tensions into opportunities for growth and understanding. And as a leader, your role is to create a space where your team feels supported, even when those beliefs differ. And sometimes they differ very greatly. And that means that you are doing a good job of building a diverse team. Having conversations should be something that we are shooting for and striving for if it's within alignment of your culture. So what steps can you take to build that space? What conversations do you need to have to help bridge that gap? Remember that you are not the main focus of this. Centering yourself is not the main focus of this, but to understand where other people are coming from and to make sure that you're showing up with an empathetic viewpoint. Understand yourself as a leader, take the quiz first, and then make sure that you're having those conversations that you need to have so that you can get on the same page, even if those pages look really different. There is still always ways to build a bridge in between. So thank you so much for listening to this episode. I'm going to publish it. So essentially, thank you so much for listening to the last 100 episodes. I really am so honored that I have gotten into the AirPods of so many of you, and I'd love to hear from you even more often. So please do me a favor and celebrate with me by taking a quick screenshot of this episode, posting it to your Instagram stories, and sending me a message about what you really took from it. And we can have some really great conversations and hopefully get you ready to grab this next era of America by the horns. And we'll see you in early January talking all about employee policies and employee handbooks. So enjoy the holidays and thanks for being here.